Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at action247.com.
It was 2 years, September 30th.
I'm serious. Whatever, I'm Labor super Day proud was. Of you. I mean, yeah. It's hard. I mean, it's hard when he's 45.
Because this dude
old.
Used to smoke blacks like it was his last week on earth.
Yeah. Like a and I'm not making
and
fun of
And what happened
like,
was
yeah.
I got fat.
It's okay.
As a result of the taste buds being activated,
right.
I got fat all in the belly.
Because you can taste like
immediately to where
speaking,
I was busting out of my pants and the belt was too tight.
But you're not.
But I've come back down since then just naturally.
Yeah.
And now I want to tighten up with Peloton.
There you go.
Yes.
I'm proud of
it.
Go for it, man.
I recommend.
Wife Smith.
Maybe I need to get this.
Again, you'd be more proud of me if I bought it. I said, I want to continue to change my life. This is just wife dropping it into my, you know, into our little workout room there. We're going to try to turn over a new leaf together. She's paying.
You can watch the football games while you're doing it.
You.
So you guys watch the games while you're doing this,
all
right?
All day long.
I don't have a TV in the room where where I have it set up. I mean, I just focus on the workout, you know, because you have to watch the screen. You know, you have, like, they tell you, like, it constantly changes. Like, all right, let's do cadence 90 to 100. Resistance goes up, goes down.
What the
down.
Hell does cadence 90 to 100 mean?
Cadence is like, you know, your intensity.
Pace.
With,
like,
I
got
to pick it up right. Yeah. We're going uphill.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. But I don't see hills on the thing, right?
No, dude.
They're not giving me any, like, I'm climbing a mountain, Tour de France type stuff.
No, you got to do.
I'm going to be a little bit disappointed because I thought there was a screen with that thing.
But it's kind of lame, I'll be honest. Like, when you do the scenery, because you're pedaling faster than the camera is moving. You know?
Oh, yeah, they get a little lame.
So it's like, I feel like this is not really a natural. I mean, it's interesting, but I did it. Like, that's what Parrish does.
He gets into the landscape.
Like, Parrish just wants to go through a nice little brisk, you know, ride through
Venice
and
Greece.
Santorini.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do that. We're trying to get better. You know, we're trying to, you know, make some real changes. So I'd recommend going with Kendall Toole. That's my go-to class. There's a lot of different class instructors.
Is it
right?
Attractive
Kendall
female?
Tool.
Yeah, she's a pretty, but she gets, like, it's more about, like, the intensity of the class.
Oh, okay.
She goes pretty hard. You know, I mean, she's every class is like, you always feel like, you know, damn,
I'm not trying to be sexist, but an attractive female on there training you, I would think that would motivate a little bit, you know,
because
you're like, man, she's really pushing me and I got to follow her. Like, look at her, you know.
Well, believe it or not, these people are like stars now.
Oh, they're rock stars.
There's a Peloton instructor on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, and all they do is work out. You'd think they're attractive because they work out all the time.
They all have agents. They've all signed agents. They all, like, you know, as
and
a
these
result
virtual
of,
stars, like, so these people on the computers are they're rock stars.
Not, I mean, this was not intended to
Peloton
be an infomercial.
Family.
That's interesting
for
though.
Peloton,
well, it's
like,
become that.
I still like the old school. I got to be in person.
But the truth is, the convenience is just worth the price.
Especially the new price that you didn't get to pay.
You literally can work out on the Peloton whenever you want. Like, you don't have to, like, you know, you don't have to say, all right, honey, I'm at, you know, you don't have to schedule it ahead if you got kids. Because when you have kids, and this is one of the things that I've obviously learned in the last 6 months, like, it becomes difficult to do things anymore, you know, because you have a routine. You have, okay, bath time is at 6 or 7, and then we're going down at 8. We got a bottle. I mean, so everything just becomes harder and harder to do. And regardless of what my reason for not being at home is, whether I'm out, you know, gallivanting around the town drinking or I'm playing basketball, it's all the same. You know, in my mind, playing basketball does not equal going out on the town and drinking. But to my wife, you know what it is?
Yeah,
it's
just gone.
I'm not home.
Well,
you know, so it's like you have to be like, I got to be a little bit more judicious when I leave the home, you know, because it still counts against me no matter what.
I probably spend about 6 hours a week on my house and my yard. And it is a bitch because, like, Jake helps me with it now in push mows, but like I got to edge it. I got all this. It's almost a half acre. Like it's a pain in the butt. That I consider that working out too. You know, like mowing the lawn and doing all that work.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because you got to mow the lawn, you got to cut, you got to weed edge, get on your knees, and you got to get under them bushes. And
it does sound like work. Know. I don't know if it's helping your body.
Oh, yeah. You're out there sweating in July, getting in that. Oh, you spend 3-4 hours out on Saturday, you'll drop a few pounds.
I don't do the lawn.
You sound like a man who loves being in that lawn. And
I like it better than getting on a bike and looking at, Jill out in New York.
I can't, man. I don't have that green thumb. I'm certainly no Patrick Williams. You know, I just don't have
you
the...
You keep talking about him. You dropped his name about 10 times this offseason.
You have.
He's the green thumb.
You are, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's the flower man.
Patrick Williams.
Lay off of him. Give him go easy.
Congrats to
like,
you.
Honestly, I don't mean this...
He had a decent rookie season.
I don't mean this respectfully, but if he continues to perform the way he has...
Don't do this.
He is going to be doing landscaping.
Right, yeah.
It's going to be his profession.
Well said. Well
done. He's going to continue to come off the bench.
Yeah. Congrats to Jason,
man. Jason getting his Peloton.
Jason joining the cult.
Tell us
family.
How it goes this weekend.
I'll shoot you guys some pictures of me sweating.
Now, you've led us down this road before where, you know, we were promised a personal training session.
I'm the only one who's changing his life around here. Like, I quit. Y'all don't give me no credit for that.
Give you credit.
It's the time that I didn't go to Shabazz that John wants to continue to highlight.
Really,
I'm just
bringing
saying,
that up.
Like, give me
John.
A break.
Are you really going to send us a picture?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's committed.
We look forward to it.
I mean, it's going
to
be my house.
Well, that's fine. I don't care where it is. Outside, front yard.
What, you think it's going to be in there and I'm not going to get on the damn thing?
I hope. I mean,
people do it every week. That's why they sell the crap out of those.
That's exactly right. I bought a Peloton from a third-party person because it was collecting dust.
Yeah, people don't use them. They buy them and they sit. It's just like a gym membership.
No, I'm going to put the letter from Laird and from Rudd on the front of it, and we're just going to keep on pushing.
Okay. Yeah, big to put a Big 12 sign in front of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're riding until we get to the Big 12, fool. Yeah.
That's right.
You could be riding forever for years on that
pedal,
damn
pedal,
thing.
Pedal, pedal, pedal.
Set the scene in Houston.
You're Cincinnati flying.
So even if I don't get in, I'll still be a better person, just like there'll be a better university.
You're
right?
A better looking
I'm
Jason.
I'm better looking, better shape. Yeah. Even if I don't get
you're,
it back
you're
to the
fit,
big boys.
You look awesome.
Road exactly. To the Big 12 goes
it's the
through
same
Houston.
Exact. It's the same comparison.
Sounds good.
We'll come back. Bill Barnwell.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He's going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about the NFL, about Dak's performance last night, Tom Brady, all things NFL with Bill Barnwell at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.10 FM, ESPN. There is nothing more Memphis than Topps Barbecue. Great way to celebrate. I would say Topps Power 5 Barbecue.
Yes, of course. Championship barbecue.
The best.
CFP barbecue.
In Memphis and the best in the world. They've been doing it since 1952. They cook their pork shoulders the same way they did over 60 years ago. Cheeseburgers made to order. Always fresh. Best in Memphis. They got locations all throughout the city. If you love barbecue, you love Topps. Get over there today.
Could never go wrong with a Memphis staple. And it's certainly that. Literally grew up on Topps. Sounds like John did too. And you probably did too. But what you might not have known growing up is there's this thing called the Fireman Burger. At least I didn't know about it until this year. And it's changed my life. It's the only thing I order when I go to Tops now. It's their fantastic barbecue John just told you about on top of the best cheeseburger in town. It's called the Fireman Burger. Might not necessarily be on that menu. It's like one of those secret items. You can order it. Corporate told us all 16 locations got it for you. Can make it a turkey burger if you want. And it's going to rock your world. I promise you that. You can thank us later. It's the Fireman Burger at Tops. Get it. Change your life. Tops Barbecue, where you see the smoke, then you taste the flavor.
We've been talking today, of course, about, look, objectively disappointing news. No way to spin that. That, of course, Memphis is not getting in the Big 12. Houston is getting in the Big 12. UCF is getting in the Big 12. Cincinnati is getting in the Big 12. BYU is getting in the Big 12. Memphis, unfortunately, on the outside looking in. President Dr. M. David Rudd had a message to University of Memphis fans. And this is what he had to say. Stay proud. This is what we tell Jason on the Peloton. Stay proud of what we're accomplishing together and the progress that we're making. Stay proud of how far we've come together. Memphis Athletics, the university, and the city of Memphis are collectively in the best position we've ever been in our history. Across the many conversations we've had in recent weeks, Memphis has clearly been in the center of the conversation as one of the most successful and promising programs in the country. Our understanding is that this latest round of expansion for the Big 12 essentially came down to the size of the institutions and the markets in which they reside. But the final whistle hasn't blown, and it's far from over. Intercollegiate athletics and conference realignment will continue to evolve at a rapid pace. With that will come more change and more opportunity. Know that we are being strategic, proactive, and aggressive in our efforts. We must be slowing down. We must continue to compete at the highest level and support our programs. Rest assured, we will not be slowing down our efforts, nor will we be lowering our expectations. Our current trajectory is remarkably positive, and we only plan on accelerating it. We must continue to invest in our infrastructure and in the AAC. As we move forward, let us all collectively remind the nation that Memphis is on the rise across all domains of our university. And it is true. It is true. I mean, academically, they're doing much better than they were 5 years ago. On the football side of things, they're doing much better, slash the same than they were 5 years ago, which is a good level, right, which is a very good level. Basketball is on the way up again. So I just feel like in terms of things that Memphis could control, and like there's not something that, you know, you're going to be able to talk to a Big 12 official about and say, hey, what should Memphis have done? And they'll have some great answer. They won't, because they know the truth, which is that Memphis has done everything it can do. And the criteria this go-around, sadly, was not based on anything on merit. It was based on, you know, what are the particulars around you that really don't impact how you perform, but do unfortunately matter in the grand scheme of things.
I discussed this with you a few days ago, and it was, you know, early in the process, but it is going to matter because you have an outgoing president in Dr. David Rudd. It's and because you didn't make it this time around, but you look at what you've built and you say, well, we can't stop now.
Facts.
Right? That next president, whomever it is, that's going to be high up on the list of things you're asking that new president. Because with all due respect, and I hear she's the butt of jokes all the time, but Shirley Raines was not involved as a president on the athletic side. Now, you know, she did some things in some other categories, so we don't need to go back and discuss her, you know, her tenure. But she was not as involved, and I think in not being as involved, you didn't realize how much this side of things and reaching a Power Five conference can change the how transformative it can be for the university. Dr. Rudd clearly gets that.
Yep.
Your next president's going to have to continue to get it, especially with you on the outside looking in. Because, again, we're not just talking about, you know, playing games against in a better conference. You're talking about, you know, the money, a money difference that's huge for these Power Five conferences and what it can do for, again, not just your athletic department, but your entire university. So it's going to be paramount for that next president after Rudd to push just as hard. Now, you probably won't get a president that's as involved, because Rudd's been all over everything athletically. But you, because of where you are, you got to get one that's involved, and certainly one that understands how critical a time this is.
That's true.
For the university right now, standing on the outside looking in and needing to be in. So that foot on that gas, John, you can't afford for it to let up too much when you're moving on to this next president. So that's going to be a question that whomever that is, you're going to be asking, I would imagine, high up in that interview, okay, what's your take on the landscape of college athletics, because unfortunately it's going to matter for you as a, you know, you might be coming from academia, But this is going to matter to our university as a whole, both athletically and from an academic standpoint. So that next person's got to realize, got to get it too, right? Maybe not as involved, but certainly going to have to get it.
I agree. I think that's imperative.
I mean, it's going to be one of the top in terms of things you're looking for.
Well, because look, I mean, there's nothing like obviously with any university, academics do have to come first. I mean, you go to a university to get a degree. You don't go to a university to win college football championships. That being said, at a place like Memphis, where the community is so sort of woven into the fabric of sports. You gotta get that, and you gotta be willing to pound the pavement with it, because I remember reading old articles, from Phil Stukenborg back in 2008 when they were doing this. You remember they did that subcommittee on an on-campus stadium, how much it would cost, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Shirley Raines was like really adamant. She was really adamant that we need to prioritize improving our academic infrastructure, and it was probably true.
Well, Rudd, you knew that too.
At that time,
to get to where you got to get in too. I mean, that's still been part of this.
Yeah,
improving your academic profile, but it was let's just focus on that and not on what we can do athletically. As opposed, you need both working together because it's helping that academic side is helping your profile in terms of being pulled up to one of these bigger conferences. But no, she wasn't. I don't think she didn't get it in that sense in terms of what it could do for you, I think. What athletics could do for you in terms of your whole entire university. It can help you academically. That money that can pour in from being in a big conference. And so that's the thing about it is you can't go back to that.
Yeah.
Someone who's just focused on academics. Surely that can be the focus, and for most presidents it's going to be, but they've got to understand how important and critical it is to that university that you take the support and everything that you've got, from woven in, as you said, your history of athletics around here, and turn that into, right, turn that into what's hopefully eventually a spot in a Power Five conference.
Yeah, just to kind of go back in time, in 2007, 2008, they did do this on-campus stadium feasibility study. Because they had just gotten left out of the Big East, right, in this time. And they're like, this is why? It was a big reason why. So back then, in 2008, a 40,000-seat on-campus stadium would have cost about $120 million. Now, do that today, 2021,
right,
Probably double that, right? 250, 300, 350. And that's a lot of money for a place like the University of Memphis. Could they have gotten it back then? Maybe. I mean, if they really would have tried to do it and maybe if they had done it, we would be. And we were talking to sort of Chris Lowe about that. Feels like if they would have just pulled the trigger on that.
There's no promise, but there's a possibility.
No,
you still got to hit on the right coaches. The right coaches got to recruit the right players. There's no promise that you're putting a winning product on the field for a sustained period of time,
mm-hmm.
Just because you have an on-campus stadium. There's no promise of it. Could it have helped? Absolutely, it could have helped. We all look back on that and say, well, maybe that could have been a difference maker for you in terms of building this thing up. But, there is no promise of that.
Yeah. And so that's where Memphis is. Keep doing what you're doing. That's like when you lose, you don't get a job and you feel like you're a qualified candidate. But you say, hey, is there anything I could have done different? Say, nope, keep doing what you're doing. We had a better candidate in mind. That's kind of the way this one went. And so you got to keep doing what you're doing and succeeding in football and thriving in football and basketball. You do that, when this stuff comes around again, you'll probably be in a good position to get scooped up. But you do have to have somebody in charge, of course, who understands that and who's going to make that a priority. And David Rudd's gotten criticism, and sure, there are things that could have been handled differently. But I think overall, you have to love the way that he really embraced that piece of it, making sure that athletics, was invested in.
Because he sees how much it could change the face of the university.
100%.
Understands that. Next person has to as well.
So anyway, when we come back, Bill Barnwell is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the NFL, about week one, about Dak Prescott, what he likes coming up this weekend. Lots more to come. But first, a word from Jason.
NFL's back. FanDuel Sportsbook celebrating with 40-1 odds on any week one game the rest of the way. Who doesn't want to win $200 on a $5 bet? It's that simple. New customers get 40-1 odds when you place your first wager. FanDuel is sports betting made simple. It's apps easy to use. Plus, when you win, you're going to get paid in as little as 24 hours. even been easy for a novice like me getting involved. I didn't know the first thing about a same game parlay before FanDuel, but I do now. It's a good way to bet a little amount, right, and win big. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. They're always hooking you up with exclusive odds boosts, great promotions, so much more. Just sign up with the promo code JSmith, and you could win $200 on a $5 bet. That's promo code JSMITH. It's exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app, the official partner of 929 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only on this one. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $200. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Bill Barnwell writes about the NFL for ESPN. One of his assignments this week, pretty tough, if you ask me, was coming up with ways that every team in the NFL, including the Houston Texans and Detroit Lions, can get to the Super Bowl. He joins us now. How hard was that? I mean, you had to like be looking at yourself in the mirror for about 45 minutes on the Texans.
I mean, yes, that's fair. But the point I brought up that I think is crazy to think about now is that, I mean, think about the Rams when they won the Super Bowl that year. Kurt Warner won MVP. I mean, they were 4-12, I think, the prior year. Their quarterback, Trent Green, tears his ACL in preseason. They're handing over the job to Kurt Warner, a guy who was, I think, 28 at the time, had 11 career pass attempts. The idea that that team would have won the Super Bowl was probably just as crazy as the idea that the Texans are about to win the Super Bowl. But it happened. So I don't think the Texans are about to win the Super Bowl. I didn't go to Vegas and get my, you know, the money for my house down on the Texans to win the Super Bowl. But I think if not stranger things have happened, I think similarly strange things have happened in the past.
Based on what we saw last night, and man, what a way to kick off the NFL season. Did anything you saw of the Bucs and the Cowboys change what you thought already about their outlooks this season?
No, I mean, I think relatively similar. I mean, with the Cowboys, I think the reality is going to be they're going to be in a lot of shootouts. You know, I really think they're going to be week to week struggling to stop teams on defense. But I do think that you know, hopefully the kicking will be better. I mean, really realistically, you know, Greg Zuerlein probably cost the Cowboys the game last night with some subpar attempts and short yardage. But I think the Cowboys was kind of how I would have expected. And the same thing with the Bucs. If anything, you figure the defense is probably going to be better than it was yesterday against the great Cowboys offense. So I think these two teams that expect to be playoff teams this year, and I wouldn't be shocked if we saw a rematch between the two teams at some point during the postseason.
Dallas or Washington then in the NFC East for you?
I would probably go Dallas, maybe Philadelphia ahead of Washington.
Wow.
I mean, you know, that defense was great last year. Been legitimately really good, but I just am skeptical about that offense. You know, there's certainly talent there, but we saw Curtis Samuel today being placed on short-term IR. I don't know if the offensive line is all that great.
Yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, hey, he's been very good the past couple of years, but that wasn't an offense that really played to his strengths, and now he's moving to a new scheme. So, you know, I do think that the Washington football team can certainly compete. I think they're a legitimately good team with a great defense, but I just don't know if the offense can hold up their end of the bargain.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the Eagles, because the other day my partner shocked us all when he said he thought that they could be, and you correct me if I'm wrong, John, but that they could be one of the surprise teams. And
that's correct.
And I think based on a confidence that Jalen Hurts could actually be good. What about you and Jalen Hurts? And is that why you've got them up there in terms of Philadelphia and maybe being second in the division?
Yeah, I think so. Jalen Hurts, I don't think he has to be great, but I think he has to be better than he was last year. And I think that's within the realm of possibility, especially because you think about that Eagles team last year. I mean, they had so many problems. They were a mess in so many places. But that offensive line was as beat up as any offensive line I can think of in recent NFL history. I mean, so many guys who were expected to be key contributors for them just did not play, not 100%, or not even close to 100%. I mean, they were down to bare bones in September, let alone in December. So to me, you know, I want to see Jalen Hurts behind a healthier offensive line. Don't know what the scheme is going to look like, of course, but to me, I think that they could be a more competitive team than people are giving them credit for. I think because they're thinking about the team last year that was so beat up, and, you know, it kind of seemed like they were at odds with their coach, at odds with the front office. I think they're going to be more on the same page this year.
Look, I know a lot of that was sort of script last night and against that defensive front of Tampa Bay, but, you know, it was just a very different Cowboys offense than we're typically used to, because Zeke only got the ball 11 times, and when he did, he didn't do very much. Even when he caught the pass, he got tackled in one-on-one coverage, which is just sort of a rarity that close to the goal line. What do you think the future holds for Zeke? I mean, do you think that's going to be more of what we see this year? Is it because a combination of things that it just wasn't in the game plan? Like, what do you see happening for Zeke this year in Dallas?
Yeah, I mean, I would say first and foremost, I don't think the Cowboys had any faith they could run the football between the tackles against the Bucs in that game. I mean, look at what they called during the goal line, that goal line stand where the Cowboys ended up kicking a field goal. I mean, it was a zone replay with Dak keeping the ball. It was a option to Zeke on third down, on third and short. It wasn't even like a handoff. Wasn't, you know, inside zone. Wasn't power. Wasn't duo. It was an option play. And Zeke, I mean, you could tell he was not comfortable running that option on third and goal. So to me, I think this isn't going to be the game plan from week to week. I don't think they're going to be so reticent to run the football, especially now that they are probably going to get Zach Martin back from, I believe he's on the COVID list right now, hopefully in a week or two. Yeah. You figure that they're going to be more inclined to run the football between the tackles, and Zeke will be the primary guy who does that. But, I mean, you know, think about how many running backs who, you know, guys like Todd Gurley, guys like Devontae Freeman, guys, you know, we thought of as young backs were entering their prime, got contracts, who a couple years later, they were either out of the league or they were, you know, struggling for jobs. I mean, Zeke is protected because of his contract, because he has such a secure deal. But I think by the end of this year, you can't rule out that Ezekiel Elliott might be a guy who's about to get cut. And that's just the reality of how short running back lifespans are, especially when you have the sort of heavy workload Zeke had at the beginning of his career. So to me, I think this is a team that, even though they're not going to be quite as pass heavy as they was yesterday, or as they were yesterday, I do think they're going to be a pass heavy team this year. And I do think that Zeke is going to be, you know, a guy who is part of the offense, but he's not going to be the focal point of the offense, maybe the way he would have been 3 or 4 years ago.
Is there anything like it in sports, Bill, like Tom Brady, in that the guy is 44 years old And, like, when he got the ball with a minute left in the fourth quarter, like, we just knew what was going to happen.
Like,
and it wasn't even like a, oh, man, you know, maybe. No, like, we knew exactly what was going to happen. And this is not 27-year-old Tom Brady. This is 40. This is the oldest he's ever been in his life. And yet we feel like, you know, it's a foregone conclusion. This dude is going to once again march down the field and get the win. Like, is there anything remotely close to this in sports?
No. Nothing to me comes to mind. And I mean, you know, we're spoiled, right? Like this guy should not be doing this. He should not be 44 and look like he's 25 at quarterback. And yet he looked great. I mean, that bomb to Antonio Brown was perfect. The interceptions last night, not remotely his fault, obviously. But the Hail Mary's a Hail Mary, and then the pass off Leonard Fournette's fingertips was a Leonard Fournette mistake, not a Tom Brady mistake. I mean, the guy looks totally in control, and we think Father Time comes for everyone, right? It came for Drew Brees, it came for Dan Marino, Brett Favre, John Elway. Every great quarterback you can think of has been waylaid by Father Time long before, in their ages, long before they turned 44, which is Tom Brady's now current, the current point he's at. It doesn't seem like it's going to come this year. It could come next year, 3 or 4 years from now. But, I mean, Tom Brady looks like he is perfectly comfortable in Bruce Arians' offense. He has plenty of weapons to work with. He has a good offensive line. Unless he gets hurt, unless there's a sudden change, I don't see any reason to think that Tom Brady is not going to be, you know, the same guy he's been in years past. And that's either an MVP candidate or a very, very good quarterback.
Bill, do you think with the Rams and – you know, having Sonny Michel there, Daryl Henderson, a guy we know well here coming out of Memphis, that's going to be enough of a running game to complement Stafford and sort of put the Rams in a spot with a defense that should be good again to where they can be in an NFC championship type game. Will that running game hold up, you think, with those guys they've got involved now?
I mean, go back a couple of years, right? I mean, remember when Todd Gurley was hurt in December, and they brought CJ Anderson,
very true,
off of his couch,
yep,
to play running back. And he, you know, for a guy with Todd Gurley, by the way, at that time, Todd Gurley was considered, you know, a transcendent running back. It wasn't
right.
Like, oh, we're just plugging in Todd Gurley. He was the dude in the NFL when it came to running backs, and they plugged in CJ Anderson off his couch, and he put up better numbers than Todd Gurley.
You're right.
He won me a fantasy
right.
title that year. I'm always gonna back CJ Anderson because he won me my fantasy championship with my friends. So, I don't think it's quite that simple. You can't just, I couldn't step in and be a great running back for the Rams, but I think, you know, they have pieces that work. Daryl Henderson might not be a 30 carry a game guy. Not that anybody is, but Daryl Henderson's not going to be a guy who, you know, touches the ball
right.
25 times a week. But can he be a guy who can be a very effective, you know, runner and receiver? Yeah. Sonny Michel, I mean, a guy who has not been the guy he was in Georgia, but a guy who can be a very effective between the tackles runner, a guy who can be a player who takes what he is supposed to get, gets the runs he's supposed to get, stays on schedule. He can absolutely be that guy. So to me, you know, I wouldn't want to lose one of those guys. I'd be a little concerned about having to go, you know, deeper on your roster.
Right.
But I do think that they have enough with that offense. And to me, they're my pick to come out of the NFC. I had to pick someone from a very tight group of teams, obviously, but I picked someone last night on Scott Van Pelt's show. I picked the Rams because, to me, I think Matthew Stafford just elevates that offense to the next level and gives passing attack that can do things that Jared Goff, for whatever strengths he had, was not able to do consistently during his time in Los Angeles.
Well, I'm with you.
We are, of course, talking to the great Bill Barnwell. Read him at ESPN.com. Does great work on the NFL. Okay, it's a big weekend in the state of Tennessee because this hype train officially it gets rolling. Do you know, as we stand right now, everybody seems healthy. Do you think this Titans outfit lives up to the just massive, gargantuan expectations that they have obviously invited?
I mean, I think they win this week, but I'm concerned. You know, I see a Tennessee team that certainly, you know, they remind me a lot of last year's Cowboys in a lot of ways, where the talent's there. I mean, the top level talent in terms of, you know, having a quarterback who we know can hit big plays, a great running back, obviously a couple superstars at wide receiver, a big pass rusher. They just added, of course, adding Bud Dupree. But question marks in the secondary, I think we can all agree, it's fair to say. And that Cowboys team, of course, had a bunch of injuries. And once the injuries happened, well, they fell apart. And for Tennessee, I think the question for me is, do they stay healthy? I mean, that sort of, you know, top tier of 7-8 guys for the Titans, they're great players. And if those guys stay healthy, this is going to be a scary football team. But can they stay healthy? Again, for not even for 16 games, for 17 games this year, plus the postseason, I think that's the big concern. And to me, you know, history tells us, hey, when you have a team that's built that way, you either have a year where everything goes right and you win 14, 15 games, or typically you lose one of those guys, you lose two of those guys, or maybe like the Cowboys last year, you lose four or five of those guys and you fall apart. So to me, I think history tells me, look at what we've seen from rosters constructed this way in the past. It usually is a very difficult way to win. But I think Tennessee, certainly if they stay healthy, has the talent to be a really scary team, a team that we know can beat anybody, right, in the AFC on their week.
What do you expect, then, Bill, from Jameis Winston in New Orleans? Is he going to be good enough in that position to keep them playoff caliber?
Oh, boy. I mean, I don't know if anybody knows what to expect from Jameis Winston in New Orleans, right? It's crazy. I mean, I think to me, you know, when I look at what Jameis Winston did in Tampa, it wasn't like he was lacking for pieces to work with. It wasn't like it was Sam Darnold, you know, with the Jets, where right. It was just awful offensive line, awful receivers, coach who was overmatched. I mean, that was a mess for him. And I think if you wanted to say we can't judge Sam Darnold based on what he did in New Orleans with the Jets, I'd say, okay, I don't think he's going to be great in Carolina, but I agree. But with Jameis Winston, I mean, he had Bruce Arians his last year, who's an excellent offensive coach. He had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I mean, those are two absolute dudes at wide receiver, superstars at receiver. O.J. Howard was there and healthy. I mean, that was a very talented team around Jameis Winston, and of course the offensive line. But you look at what he has in the New Orleans. Of course, he has a great coach, Sean Payton. He has an excellent offensive line. But that Michael Thomas, I mean, that receiving core is a major question mark. Marcus Callaway, Adam Troutman. I mean, these are guys who, you know, they might break out, and hey, if they do, great for the Saints, but this is not a team that has those reliable guys who are going to win you 50-50 balls when you do toss those passes up downfield. So to me, I think, you know, for Jameis Winston, it's a question of how much is he going to shoulder of that workload? Because to me, I think I look at the Saints, they're a team that needs to win by playing great defense, creating takeaways on defense, and using that great offensive line to run the ball effectively. I think Jameis is going to be a guy sort of like Ryan Tannehill maybe for Tennessee, where it's not about him being the focal point of the offense, but more about him, you know, hitting those play action shots for big plays. And I think he can be that guy, but I think it's going to be different, certainly, that he was where it was, you know, he was the focal point of the offense and they were throwing the ball 50 times a game in Tampa Bay.
Look, I have a vested interest because I'm a fan of the team, but I am curious just how you think the John Gruden era plays out. Like, I mean, they have not made the playoffs since he came back into coaching. They're not going to make the playoffs almost certainly this year again. They don't appear to be. Their trajectory is not up. You would not say that the trajectory is up. So do you think this is a deal where he just kind of muddles along to finish out the contract? Do you think he's going to get – I mean, like, how do you – what's the end game of John Gruden back in NFL coaching?
How many more years does he have to go on that deal?
A lot. Seven?
Six?
Something six? Like that.
Yeah. Six? I mean, hey, you know, if you like being a coach, this is your chance to be a coach. I mean, John Gruden has, you know, full control over that organization, and I'd have to imagine he would not get that elsewhere. So, you know, I think for him, I don't know John Gruden personally. I know he worked at ESPN, and I'm at ESPN, but, you know, I feel like this is kind of his chance to prove, hey, I'm a genius guy. I'm a guy who won a Super Bowl, and I got a guy who can win another Super Bowl. In terms of putting an organization together, but so many times with this organization, the guys they've brought in just haven't looked as good as they have elsewhere. Their free agents haven't been as impressive as they were in other places. Their draft picks haven't panned out. And, you know, this is the point where we have to be sitting here saying, okay, you've had 3 years now, three full seasons, now in the fourth offseason, to rebuild this roster in your image. And I think the results at this point are going to have to be. And I think, you know, for a guy like John, who is obviously a guy who had success in the past, but also was, I think, a very successful, you know, commentator. It's not as if he's going to be hurting for opportunities. If he said tomorrow, hey, you know, listen, I gave coaching another shot. I'm good. I want to be an announcer again. I think a lot of people want to hire him and pay him a lot of money. So, you know, for John, I feel like if they don't win this year, it might get to the point where he says, okay, you know, do I want to make $10 million a year coaching and working as hard as I am, or would I rather make a similar amount of money to do commentary one day a week, or something that I'm very good at, where people are going to say, hey, you know, that guy could be a great coach, but if you kind of prove that maybe you're not all that great of a general manager, not all that great of a personnel executive, you might not have quite as fun of a week as you would being the guy who was the former coach who talks about what to do on a given play. So to me, I think for the Raiders, this is a big season. This to me is a season where if they don't make the playoffs, I don't think Gruden gets fired because it's, you know, $60 million they'd have to pay. But I do think it's an off season where I think they would make significant changes around John Gruden if this doesn't work out with this edition of the Raiders and Derek Carr.
Bill, man, great stuff.
Love
as
stuff,
always.
Bill.
We
Thank
appreciate
you.
The time.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yep,
too.
It's Bill Barnwell. Covers the NFL for ESPN. The Grizzlies have done it again. They have made another trade. Mark Gasol, welcome back to Memphis. The Grizzlies have made a trade with the Los Angeles Lakers to trade for Mark Gasol, the 2024 second-rounder, and some cash in exchange for the draft rights to Wang Zeelin. Had no idea we still had his rights. The deal saves Lakers $10 million. If you were hoping to see Mark Gasol in a Grizzlies uniform, however, I do have disappointing news for you. He will not be playing for the Grizzlies. They're going to release him, and they're going to let him remain in Spain with his family. So Mark Gasol is not coming back to the Memphis Grizzlies, but they are trading for him.
And Nick can retire his number. Throw him in there with Zach and Tony. No?
As Harrington says, he's not going to play in Memphis, so I don't know if you can even technically say he's retiring a Grizz, provided that he even retires.
But you're still going to retire his number.
Yes.
And if he's done, if he's going back to Spain, then why wouldn't he?
He might be playing overseas. He might play internationally, so he's not retired.
They said after the Spain thing this year, it looked like the last go-around with in the Olympics with him and Powell, that they were done with the international play.
I can tell a lot of people are not reading the entirety of the tweet.
They just think,
you know what I mean?
Like Mark's back.
Like they see, like, he's, you know, but it's not, he's not going to play.
Well,
he's just, you know, this is we're doing another favor for the Lakers. That's what we do.
I was going to say.
We really do. We mess with the Lakers hardcore, don't we?
Helping them folks out.
Man, y'all need to save some money? No problem.
We here.
Y'all need a player that we can pay? No problem. I mean, these folks right here.
Hopefully it's going to come back.
I hope so. I hope it's reciprocated, man, because I just feel like this is a one-way relationship right now.
It's beginning to look and sound like that.
I mean, you know.
Oh, come on. It's not about for the Grizzos.
But it is like a coincidence, right? Like, we're just out here saving the Lakers $10 million so they can go sound like an impact player. I guess somebody would have done it. And you get a...
And what else is in there?
Well, you do get that...
Their first rounder at some point.
Yeah, and you get back that Ballyhoo 2024 second-round pick.
I ain't worried about that one.
Man, the Grizzos have so many 2024 second-round picks. Man, it's like Oprah. They're going to start dealing them things. You get a second rounder in 2024. You get a second rounder in 2024,
they
man.
You be flopping
Watch
and
out.
Things and swapping.
Like ninja spikes.
I honestly don't know, but is it part bridge building with these other organizations when you do this stuff that you're hoping that relationship is something where you are doing bigger deals and hopefully future deals and that sort of thing? Plus, this is the retirement thing, right? And you get something.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they're going to cut him, though.
He's going over to Spain.
I don't even think there's going to be a press. There's not going to be no press conference.
Hey, this will be good for a sellout for the Grizzlies, though. One sellout. They'll fly his ass in, and they'll retire him this year, too.
He don't have anything left, bro.
I don't know if he thinks that. I mean, we might believe that, but I don't know where his mindset is. I can't begin to know.
No, this is a retirement year, right?
I think he was trying to come back with the Lakers this year, wasn't he? Like, wasn't they trying to make that work? I feel like I read that somewhere.
They had put him in and picked him over Drummond, I suppose, there at the end of the season. But yeah. Come on. I mean, he was an afterthought during the regular season.
Yeah.
Remember, to a point, that was almost like he wasn't even part of the team.
Yeah.
He got more involved as it went on. But, again, I'm not sure what value at this point he provides them either.
I mean, it didn't work. It was a bad marriage between, you know, LeBron and Mark did not really get along very well. And they're bringing in, you know, DeAndre Jordan. So that's probably what I just don't know if Mark is necessarily retiring. I think it's more of a.
And DeAndre seemed like they're just doing him a favor too, because they already brought Dwight back, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So
DeAndre's just gonna see. You know, he didn't play in the playoffs at all for the Nets.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think
he's passed it. He's passed.
You don't think there's a spot for Mark on a contender though? Like, you don't think there's a spot for him in Brooklyn? You don't think there's a spot for him, you know, in Golden State or something like that?
Look at my face. What does my face say to you?
Yeah. I mean, I feel you. I definitely feel you. But I just, you know.
You can't let go. We know. You didn't want to blow the whole thing up. Still be playing for the
I'm
group.
Not going to sit here and stump for Mark, bro. Like, he's, you know, 36, 37 years old. I'm not, you know, this is definitely a different Mark than.
I have
you know.
Great respect for him. It's over.
2012, 2013. But we'll see. We'll see.
I'm going to say the truth.
It would not shock me if he ends up on a different roster, though. It just will not be the Memphis Grizzlies.
Like the Clippers or something?
I think there are people out there in Memphis today who think that Marc Gasol is playing for the Memphis Grizzlies again.
Like, oh, I have no doubt. They're driving around. Mark is back.
Yeah.
Mark is back.
Right.
What a season. We lost Valanciunas, but we got Mark back.
Right.
That's how a lot, I know you guys think this is bananas. There are people that live their lives and think like that.
Oh, I agree. That's why we're here to tell them.
That's why we are on the radio.
Very important.
Yeah. You know, if you're,
I know it's strange.
Mark isn't, because like
he's not going to play for this franchise.
Well, I'm sure people get like the notification, right?
Yeah.
Mark Gasol traded to the Memphis Grizzlies,
and then you just say peripherally, yeah.
Oh my God, Mark is back. But like the context is, yeah. You know, this is a franchise, yeah, where if they trade for you, you don't play for them.
No, we have Steven Adams to play the center position. He's also 10 years younger.
They got a lot of dudes they've traded for, but you don't play.
Yeah, we don't
for
get
them.
To play on this franchise.
It's like, I don't know if it's
got like an all-star team of them dudes, bro.
Yeah, it's like a pickup game.
If your agent calls you and says, hey, you just got traded to the Grizzlies, you're like, well, I don't have a team.
Your ass ain't playing?
I don't know where I'm going to play. I'm going to be playing.
Purgatory.
Next year.
The best team of guys have been traded to the Grizzlies but didn't play you could put together.
Bro, you could put an all-star.
So Mark going to be at center. Iguodala's on that thing.
Rondo's playing point.
Rondo at point.
Yeah.
This playoff run.
Deion Waiters at the two.
Shooting that thing.
We got Pat Bev off the bench.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got, we got a lot of, we got a full-ass roster.
Nice little squad.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Together.
It's an expansion team of players that the Grizzlies traded for but never actually played. Anyway, Mark, we can now add him to that list. We'll come back, wrap it up on a Friday. Jason and John, 99.5 FM, ESPN. I am too sexy for
my shirt. Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Too sexy for your girl, too sexy for this world, too sexy for this ice, too sexy for that jet, yeah, yeah, I'm too sexy for this.
All year long at Liberty Bowl. Going to have access to the great Blue Note Bourbon Bar's unbelievable addition to home games here in Memphis throughout the entire season and the Liberty Bowl in December. Find them all throughout the Liberty Bowl, three locations. Right behind student section at gate 6, sections 115 and 116, and at the 50-yard line bar. Blue Note Bourbon is my go-to. It should be yours as well. Smoother than smooth and bolder than the blues. It pairs perfect with college football. Get that Blue Note with your favorite mixer, Blue Note and Coke, Blue Note and Ginger. Drink it neat, drink it on the rocks. Up to you. Always delicious with Blue Note Bourbon. Keep the party going all year long. Tailgate with Blue Note and Blue Note Bourbon. We're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The news, of course, was that Marc Gasol is going to be traded back. Yet another transactional trade. Marc Gasol going to be waived so he can stay in Spain, doesn't have to report to Memphis or anything like that, and then he can figure it out. Does he want to retire? Does he want to keep playing? Up to him, of course, to decide. That's going to do it for us today. Looking forward to a great weekend of football. NFL Week 1 action. College football. Memphis taking on Arkansas State. Hopefully they kick the crap out of Arkansas State. Send a message.
Yes, yeah, send a message.
Like Jason on that Peloton. Just keep pushing, man. Stay
for
out.
Hello.
Thanks, of course, to Bill Barnwell for joining us on the show today. Thanks to Chris Lowe. Thanks to Laird Beach for joining us. Gino and Jeffrey up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.